This evening, I'd like to begin with the letter of St. Jude. There's only one chapter in St. Jude, so the reference is the 17th verse.
Father, that's not going to work in your pocket. It's cutting out. Can you clip it on your belt?
So we'll pick up with the 17th verse of the letter of St. Jude. But you, beloved, remember the words spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. For they told you, in the last time there will be scoffers who will live according to their own godless desires. These are the ones who cause divisions. They live on the natural plane, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God and wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. I thought I would choose this one based upon what happened yesterday with our six people being received into the church and receiving the sacrament of confirmation and the Eucharist. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Remember, pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God for the mercy of, and wait for the mercy of God that leads to eternal life. Jude is speaking to all of us in that, but especially in a unique way to those who became Catholic yesterday. And we are anticipating the three to be baptized at the Easter Vigil coming up in a few weeks. On the board is just some reminders of the next few weeks on what's going on. Next week is spring break, so there's no class. We're not gathering together. We will gather together on Friday, the 31st of March, for Stations of the Cross. It's the parish Stations of the Cross. They occur every Friday during the Lenten season at 6 o'clock. Then we enter into Holy Week. Just a reminder, Palm Sunday is Palm Sunday in celebration of the Lord's Passion. It's April 1st and 2nd. For those who are to be baptized, you and your sponsors, Monday, the 3rd of April, 6:30, the church will go through our rehearsal. Okay. The Chrism Mass is Tuesday the 4th. Believe me, we put these on here just as reminders. We're not expecting you to attend. Attend if you can. The Chrism Mass is down at 10:30 at the cathedral. It's where the bishop blesses the oils that we use throughout the year. The chrism that we used yesterday, that you were anointed with, that chrism was blessed by our bishop at the Chrism Mass last year. And so he refreshes all those oils. There's the oil of the sick, which we use in the sacrament of the anointing, the oil of catechumens, which is used in the sacrament of baptism, and then sacred chrism, which is used in baptism, confirmation, holy orders, and the dedication of a church. So those oils are blessed Tuesday at that liturgy. All the priests of the diocese also gather together. It's an opportunity for us. The traditional day is actually on Holy Thursday, but many dioceses move it to a different day because it's difficult for the priests of the diocese to gather together on Thursday morning and then go back into their parishes for a Thursday evening service. The priests of the diocese will be at the Chrism Mass. It's an opportunity for us to renew our priestly commitment. It is not, if a priest doesn't show up, it doesn't mean that he's not a priest anymore. Okay, I had that happen one year. I was on my way down to the Chrism Mass and I got a call to go to St. Vincent's to anoint someone who was dying. And so I went to St. Vincent's, was with the family, and by the time I finished, it was right about the time the Mass was starting. So I said, well, I'm not gonna go to the Chrism Mass because I won't be able to make it in time. And so the people in the parish goes, well, Father, you didn't renew your priestly commitment. Does that mean you're not a priest anymore? And I said, no, that's not what it means. And then Thursday and Friday, we have our services on Holy Thursday. and Good Friday. There's 6 o'clock here in the church. Holy Thursday liturgy. After the liturgy, we have adoration of the Blessed Sacrament till midnight in the chapel. It's an opportunity for us to reflect and to call to mind the agony in the garden, reflecting and being with Jesus as he is in the garden prior to his arrest. On Friday, April 7th, is Good Friday. Good Friday and Holy Saturday are the only 2 days in the liturgical year where Mass is forbidden. You can't say Mass on those on Good Friday and on Holy Saturday until the vigil Mass that evening. So those are the only 2 days that Mass is not permitted. When you come into the church on Good Friday, it's very bare. A lot of things are covered up, a lot of things are removed, and it reminds, it's kind of empty. It kind of reminds us, as a visual reminder for us, of what life would be had Christ not risen from the dead, how empty our own lives would be. The vigil starts at 8 o'clock. The reason why it starts at 8 o'clock, it has to occur at night. Because as you remember from the readings this weekend, Scripture uses one of the most vivid contrasts or images that's used in sacred Scripture is the contrast between light and darkness, good and evil, life with Christ, life without Christ. And so the vigil begins in darkness at 8 o'clock when it's dark outside to remind us of the darkness of what our lives would be like had Christ not come in, had Christ not risen from the dead. And so at this Easter vigil, we light the big tall Paschal candle, the Easter candle, that reminds us that Christ is the light of the world and that through his death and resurrection, he's freed us from sin and death. So that light is carried into the church, and that from that light, we light the other candles in the church to remind us that all light, all life proceeds from Jesus Christ. And if you're there on that night and you see how dark the church is and then how light it becomes just with those candles, it's a wonderful, vivid imagery of that reality that takes place with Christ being the light of the world. And then if you come to the Easter vigil, it fulfills your obligation for Easter. You don't have to come back the next day, okay? Because it is an Easter, it is the Easter Mass. Those who don't come to the vigil, Mass on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30, the church and the parish hall, because it'll be packed. My suggestion is if you can make the 8 o'clock Easter Vigil Mass, come on. It's only about an hour and 45 minutes. It's a little bit less now that we don't have the reception in full communion. Last year was 2 hours, so this year probably be a little bit less. Come enjoy. It's not as crowded. For those who are going to be baptized, you have to be there. So nothing around that. The liturgy, that liturgy is a wonderful liturgy because it we go through a lot of Old Testament readings to remind us of the promised Messiah, the one who was going to come to reconcile us to God. And then, so we have some Old Testament readings and then the New Testament reading and then the Gospel of the Resurrection. We will not gather together the day after Easter. The day after Easter is a holiday. Okay, it's a church holiday. So we won't gather together then. We will gather together on the 17th. 17th of April, Sister Janet Marie Fleming will be here to talk to us about what's called mystagogia. It's a big, long word for what it means to live in the light of Christ as a new Catholic. And so she's going to be here with us to talk to us about to not let that flame of faith, not let that fire die out. Okay, one of the things that happens after a period of time is not only with converts, but also with Catholics, is after a period of time, they kind of drift a little bit. And so she's going to come and remind us of the opportunity that we've been given and how to continue to allow that flame of faith and fire to burn in our hearts. And then we'll gather on the 24th of April, and then the 1st of May, that Monday, we will have Mass, and then have dinner. That will be our concluding time together. So that kind of outlines the schedule for the next few weeks. There's a lot going on. Avail yourselves of the optional opportunities to come to the various things that are going on, especially during Holy Week. This evening is an opportunity just to look back and also to take the opportunity to maybe look forward a little bit. It's more of a summary of what we've gone through over these past months. And so as we move forward, we always need to remember that being a member of our Lord's body, the body of Christ, is indeed a privilege. But that privilege brings with it responsibility. The Lord has chosen us to do his work. Our task is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. As we have seen over these months, a Catholic is a Christian who belongs to a community of faith which shares the vision of Jesus and responds to the presence of Jesus in our midst. A Catholic loves each member of the community and uses their unique talents to contribute to that community in a positive way, to be an active member of the body of Christ, to use the gifts and talents that we've been given to build up the body of Christ. A Catholic believes in God, our loving Father. This loving Father has made us brothers and sisters to everyone. Moreover, he has sent us his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the sole mediator between God and man, and has given us the opportunity for eternal life. I always say opportunity, because God never forces it upon us. We have to respond. We have to respond to the love of God and make that choice to be his followers and to share in eternal life. We acknowledge as Catholics the divinity of Christ, and we also believe in the Holy Spirit, God's powerful presence in the church and in the world, and the gifts that the Spirit showers upon us, and that our God exists as a trinity of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As a Catholic, we attempt to live in harmony with the teaching of Jesus, loving God above all things, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Forgiving our enemies, extending special care to the poor, the lonely, the outcast. A Catholic works for peace, works for justice, helping to promote the spread of the Lord's reign on this earth to support the kingdom of God. We are reminded that the kingdom of God is not just the not yet, not just what we will inherit at the end of our life, but the kingdom of God is meant to be a lived reality in our midst. And we're called to bring that kingdom about, a kingdom of justice, a kingdom of love, a kingdom of mercy, a kingdom of hope. We commemorate the Paschal mystery by living a sacramental life. The sacraments are important for us as Catholics, recognizing the need for forgiveness especially through the celebration of the sacrament of reconciliation. And as Catholics, we cherish the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ himself, as a special reminder of God's love and his presence and the way in which we encounter in this life, in a unique way, the living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we are called to participate actively and fully in the Eucharistic celebration each week. Last week, Phil talked about the precepts of the church, one of which was to assist at Mass on Sundays and holy days. As Catholics, we take time to cultivate a life of prayer. That prayer is expressed in many different ways, as Father Muscolino reminded us and Phil reminded us last week, when I couldn't talk. We as Catholics revere sacred scripture. A lot of people don't think we do, but we do. We revere sacred scripture as God's word. St. Jerome reminds us, St. Jerome is the great biblical scholar who reminds us, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. Because it is sacred scripture is the way in which God reveals himself to us in a unique way over the years. We acknowledge as Catholics the role of proper authority in the church. For example, seeking guidance on moral decisions from the church's official teachers, the Holy Father, and the bishops in communion with him. We serve others by imitating Jesus, who washed the feet of his disciples and then commanded us to do the same. The Catholic proclaims the gospel of Christ, publicly acknowledging Jesus Christ and his church. It's important for us to remember that we are willing to stand up to ridicule and suffering in the service of the gospel of truth. The same way in which the martyrs in the early church stood up for their faith. We may not be put to death, but we may be derided. We may be told that we have an outdated way in which we live, but we live according to the way of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As a Catholic, we have a devotion to Mary, the Mother of Christ, and we esteem the saints as models of the Christian life, and we seek to follow their example as they followed the example of Christ. Catholics are fiercely committed to the protection of human life from conception till natural death. In a special way, we defend innocent human life by combating abortion, capital punishment, and euthanasia, and other assaults on human life like prejudice or economic policies that exploit the poor, crime, and other things. One of the things that's interesting is that many people, you know, here in the state of Alabama, we don't have gambling. We don't have a lottery. A lot of people say, oh, well, we should have it. We should be able to gamble. Well, the church stands, you know, the Catholic, you know, many people say, oh, it's the Christians that are against the, you know. Gambling is not wrong in according to sacred scripture. Okay, after all. How did they choose the successor of Judas? They cast lots. They cast lots. Of course, I told that to a friend of mine, actually my sister-in-law, and she goes, well, that's different. They prayed before they did it. I said, you don't think I'm going to pray before I buy that damn lottery ticket? The reason, one of the reasons why the church, why the Catholic Church is against gambling, against the lottery, is because it exploits the poor. It exploits the poor. The same reason why the church is against, why the Catholic Church is against what's going, what is actually up in our legislature at this particular point in time, which is a repeal of the sales tax on groceries, especially those WIC. Essential foodstuffs, because it is an exploited, is a tax against the poor. Because food is something we have to have. Okay, the person who makes $20,000, $20,000 or $30,000 a year, and spends or $40,000 a year, their tax burden, the money, the tax they spend on food, is 25%, you know, could be 15 to 20% of their income. As opposed, but it's constant for everybody. The person who makes $3 million a year still has to buy food, but for him, it's him or her, it's 0.025% of their income. And so anything that exploits the poor, the church is against. Above all, though, we are much more than that. We belong to Jesus Christ, we belong to his church, and we belong to the world. We do. We belong to the world. Many people, many times we are told we are called to be in the world, but not of the world. And that is true. We belong to the world because if we separate ourselves from the world, we cannot change the world. We cannot bring the kingdom of God about in our midst if we flee from our community. And so it's important for us to be that beacon of light and hope for those who seek the truth. And as Catholics, that is what we are called to do, to proclaim in word and deed the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so that kind of sums up everything that we've talked about over these months. This time, I'd like to ask, this is your opportunity to ask any question about anything. It's, for lack of a better term, the opportunity for you to stump the priest, if you can. Yes, sir.
During Mass, because of my hearing and because of the acoustics of the church, after certain points, there's a lot of mumbling going on by the congregation. And
what do you mean mumbling?
These things.
Responses. They respond.
I had to go online to find out what the mumbling was.
That's because you can't hear. And the acoustics.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah.
Now, you used to have the cheat sheets, but you took them all out.
They were taken out with COVID or something like that. Yeah.
Well, anyway.
They still exist somewhere.
I'm sure they do, but I go online and print one out. And that's the only way I'm going to learn what this stuff is. Is by repetition and going into the book and trying to find the correct page. By the time I get to the page, it's over. So
we don't make it easy.
Let's just
say that we don't make it easy because the missalette that we use is very difficult because as the order of Mass at the front, and then you have to flip from there to the readings. And then from there to the prayers, and so yes, it is difficult to follow.
A handout would be real handy.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
Okay.
especially for RCIA, you know, to know the responses that we say and why we say them at that particular point in time. Mm-hmm.
I said there's a couple of places I get lost.
Yeah.
Near the end, I've got most of the beginning.
Well, the Nicene Creed is twice as long as the Apostles' Creed, which is what I learned as a child and memorized, but yeah. I'm working on it.
That's all we can do is work on it. You never arrive. all of us, we are constantly working and growing in our relationship and in our understanding of the faith. At no point can you say, well, I'm arrived and I'm done. Yeah, we practice a lot. That's why we're called practicing Catholics. So, thank you for that. Yes, ma'am.
The statue of Mary has a very visible snake at her feet.
Uh-huh.
What does that represent?
Comes from the book of Genesis. You shall strike at his, speaking to the serpent. There's the prophecy of the coming Redeemer. You shall strike at his heel while he strikes at your head. Mary is considered the new Eve, the one who brings Christ into the world. And so she stands on the serpent, which signifies the devil, going back to Genesis, where the serpent is the one who tempts Eve. And so Mary stands on the serpent to show that she crushed through her yes to God and the fact that Christ is her son, that she is the one who crushes the head of the serpent. And so that's why that imagery is there. It's not present in all statues of Mary, but this particular one, this one I think is Our Lady of Grace. The title is Our Lady of Grace because her hands are extended this way. For instance, the statue of Our Lady of Lourdes does not have one. Our Lady of Fatima does not have one. Other images of Our Lady do not. It just depends on which one it is. Yes, ma'am.
To me, it's frustrating when people say that the Catholics worship Mary.
And we've done that, and we've talked about that when we talked about saints and Mary. And so you need to be strong and just say, we worship God alone, period. We hold Mary in high esteem because of her role in salvation history. Mm-hmm. And leave it at that. Yeah. And most of it is done out of, and I use the term with this pure philosophical understanding of the term, ignorance. Meaning not knowing, not the colloquial understanding of the term ignorant, meaning stupid. You know, but it's just they don't know. Most of it comes from a position of not knowing. And so it's our responsibility then to let them know. Not to get frustrated, not to say, well, you're wrong, not to say, well, you're nuts, but say, just look at them and say, that's not what we believe. This is what we believe. And just leave it at that. That's fine too. Yes, Philip.
Great. I noticed some people come in like really underdressed. Is that normal? I mean, I've seen people in shorts and jerseys and.
That's between themselves and their family.
I see.
It's, you know, their mamas and daddies are the ones who decide what they wear when they leave their house, and that's on the mamas and daddies.
I see.
I'm not getting into that fight.
Yes, sir. Seems inappropriate to me.
I'm not getting into that fight. I'm done.
Mamas and daddies.
I've said everything I'm going to say about it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I used to live in Knoxville, Tennessee, and we would go to the Catholic Church on a Saturday night. Same thing, you know, it was like whatever they were doing.
Like the casual mass.
Casual mass, yeah.
Yeah, for some, I don't understand. Yeah, and then, you know, when we were growing up, my dad always had a sport coat on at mass and a tie, always. And then we had to do the same thing when we were kids. You know, but things have, you know, remember when you used to dress up to get on an airplane? Hell, we used to have to dress up to go to a football game when we were kids. To go to a college football game, we had to dress up. It wasn't like going out in a bunch of, part of it is society itself has changed in regards to what people wear and the casualness of what people wear. So, yes, sir.
What's the difference between a homily and a sermon?
A sermon is something that can be done on something that's not necessarily not pertaining to sacred scripture. A homily is always pertaining to sacred scripture. Well, guess what? Y'all get out early today.
Yay.
So, is our last time together before Easter as a group in gathering together. Well, we'll gather together on for Stations of the Cross. But I hope everything goes well for each of those who are gonna, those who are about to be baptized. I look forward to the Easter Vigil. It's a wonderful, wonderful liturgy. Those who are received in the church, please come. If you can, it's a beautiful liturgy. So it is considered the mother of all liturgies. Our Sunday Mass is a Reader's Digest version of the Easter Vigil. Every time we gather for Mass is a microcosm of that grand Easter liturgy. So.
Well, it's good to have your voice back.
Yes.
At least 3/4 of the way. It's still a little shaky. But, you know, whatever I had, I don't wish on anybody. I mean, COVID was better. COVID was easier than what I had this
past month. It's a lot better than it was yesterday.
You should have heard it. Week ago, couldn't even talk. So, but yeah, whatever I had, it was, well, the difference, when I had COVID, I was so cold. I was freezing cold. I had the chills. And for like 2 days, I couldn't get warm. That was the only difference. But this, I hadn't had the flu this bad in a long time. So, I guess I'm just getting old. The older you get, the harder it is.
Not yet.
To overcome. So.
I'll let you know when you get old.
Yeah. So. Do we have anything for prayer tonight?
I was just thinking of the Lord's Prayer.
All right. Well, for everybody who was received in the church yesterday, congratulations. I'm thankful that we made it to this point. Remember, it's not the finish line. You finish your first lap. There are a lot more laps to go, and that's what we have to continue to do, that we never stop learning and growing in our faith. So why don't we stand and pray together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
One thing, I remember this as we were, right as I started the sign of the cross. When you come forward to receive communion, the person giving you communion says the body of Christ. Your response is amen. I noticed that yesterday. I'm like, you're supposed to say amen. When you say amen, what you're doing is you're saying that it's a twofold profession. One, that you believe what you're receiving is truly the body and blood of Christ. And second, is an affirmation it's an affirmation of faith of what you said yesterday, that you believe all that the Holy Catholic Church believes, teaches, and proclaims to be revealed by God. It is an affirmation of that profession of faith. Okay? Yes.
There's one more thing I heard from my daughter's parish up in Huntsville. They had they brought their people in a week earlier than we did. And many of the people going up for communion the first time didn't know what to do with their hands.
Well, everybody was fine. That was fine. No problem. I gave communion to everybody, so I know what everything was fine.
Tom gave us a good briefing.
That was all told, yeah.
They said, left hand over right hand, take it out with the right hand and eat it.
Or open your mouth. But if you open your mouth,
put the tongue out late.
And then let me get my fingers out. There are many times I've drawn back enough.